Hi, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to award-winning author Martha Miller. Welcome, Martha, and thank you for joining me today.
Back at you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, where you grew up, and some of your background with writing?
Okay. I'm going to start with where I meant to be at this age, and that's California. And that's not where I am. I have a sister that lives out there. And I thought, oh, you know, that'd be really nice. And, you know, in retirement and stuff, it didn't happen. But I'm pretty, you know, John Noble told me once that Springfield is a good place for a writer to be from. I just believed him. I was born here at St. John's Hospital many, many moons ago. And I lived up by Chicago once, but I wasn't real comfortable up there. It was when I was first married. But anyway, we came back and settled here in Springfield, where some of my family is.
And then I was reading a little bit about you and your background with writing. And you talked about how you ended up taking classes at Sangamon State, which we now know as UIS. Did this experience kind of lead you to wanting to write novels?
Well, I started out with short stories a long time ago. And I just seemed to be good at it, you know? I'm not good at where the commas go. I'm horrible at spelling. But I seem to be good at making a story. And I had a friend who published in some of the gay and lesbian journals. And I sent stories to them and they got published. And for a long time while I was writing, I didn't have anything that wasn't published. And that made me feel real good, although it was a little pressure. And then I started short story anthologies. This is called Tales from the Levee. And it's a story about gay people in Springfield back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Orpheum Theater, have you ever heard of that? Are you from around here?
No, I'm not actually. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the Orpheum Theater?
The Orpheum Theater was torn down. It was a crime because that was the biggest, most beautiful theater that we had. I mean, that used to be an old vaudeville theater and so forth. And it was decided that it should be torn down because they wanted to put drive-up banking in there. And so that's where this starts, where the theater is coming down. And after that, everything changed on that street. You know, it just, there were four gay bars, couple of hamburger joints, dirty bookstores, what can I say? But anyway, I didn't start out my life as like a gay person. I had those feelings and I looked at the lives and there were no children, there were bars, there was no home life, there, you know, and so I decided just to try it the other way. And then, gosh, in 1984, I ended up in a treatment center for alcoholism. And after I got sober, and I've been sober like 35 years, but after that, I just knew I couldn't live the way I was living. So I blew up my whole life and changed things around. It was a mess for my kids. It was just a big mess, but I'm through it, I hope. So I was in a relationship with a woman who'd been in the, she'd been at the scene for like a long time. She knew everybody. And one night she was telling me the story about two women and, you know, some of the event. I thought, you know, that sounds like a good story. So I wrote it. And then by the time we were no longer partners, which was devastating, I didn't even know if I was gay or not without her, I was getting interviews stories told about living there, about being there. Some of them are just hilarious. But anyway, I just take my little recorder. And, you know, after a while, people were coming to me. Me, who didn't know if she was gay or not, okay? But anyway, I got a bunch of these stories together and had kind of a string of a theme of what happens to gays in those days. Well, that's sort of a thing. And this is in Springfield, my most popular book. It has been, it's out of print now, but you'll see it on Amazon, their used books. And I've seen it for over $100. But this is a pretty popular book here. And that's kind of how I got started writing anthologies and moving beyond the short story.
If I may ask, why do you think that it's your most popular book? Why do you think people connect with it so much?
It's because it's about when we were young. This was before AIDS, and we were just at the bars drinking, having fun together. And one thing that I try to get across with this book is that we took care of each other. If somebody was in trouble, somebody else was there. That's just, a lot of people, their parents have kicked them out or some horrible thing like that. And so many of the stories have that theme that we took care of each other.
And then in the 1980s, it had to be kind of different to be, I would say, one of the main pioneers in the gay and lesbian writing in Springfield. What was that like for you? Were you met with any backlash from anyone?
Not really. That was when AIDS hit us. And I was so busy trying to figure out what I could do because some of my best friends died back then, including my AA sponsor. So I didn't really feel like a big writer or anything. I did keep going to Sangamon State and took classes with Jackie Jackson. And she was such a good teacher for me because she didn't mark the spelling errors too much. And she just, paid attention to the story. And so I kept writing when I had time. And I came up with another anthology that was bought and published, okay? And then I got two mysteries and finally got The Lovey published. So this is my first book published for.
And then you also talked about in your biography a little bit how difficult it is to keep a publisher. Why is that?
Well, it's not as easy as short stories, one might think. You have to make some money. And that's hard when you don't know your way around. And I had a this book is hilarious. It's called Retirement Plan. This is the one that women approach me in the bathroom and tell me they like. Now you have got it made. When somebody walks up to you in the bathroom and talks to you about your book, that's big time. But it wasn't selling as well as some of their others. And I think because there are two characters in here that are old, it's just like, here's the thing. Two old ladies trying to live on retirement. One is taught at a private school, any retirement. And the other has, been in the army and during Vietnam. And they just have a little money. One of them, her name is Sophie. She's the oldest one. And she gets in a car accident and she couldn't afford to pay the insurance. Well, there was a card party that night, with all their friends. And somebody, her partner left her to go to Florida and open a private business for snipers, okay? So they're just gonna get paid and you know, everybody's got somebody they want dead. But anyway, so Sophie and Lois go into this business. I mean, Lois has been trained as a sniper. Sophie takes care of the business end. Well, it's just a whole lot of fun, you know. I'm not gonna tell you how it ends. This one's still in print, so. But it's popular because I think it's a lot of fun. And kind of a dark sense of humor, you know. It's like, I like the Addams Family, especially Morticia, when she says that pink is a gateway color. that's wonderful.
Do you think that's the best book you wrote? I know you talked about that a little bit, but what do you think is the best book you've ever written?
I think this is probably it. And it's not my favorite. Levy's my favorite. But this, I got a lot of help from the publisher, Bold Strokes, and the editor I worked with. And it turned out, I think, to be kind of a nice book. So I like that one pretty well. I had one published in September. This is a young adult novel. And it was a horrible mistake writing it, but I had this girl in my head that was talking to me about, you know, being young now. I taught for several years at Lincoln Land. I taught English. And, you know, when I left, I miss those kids, you know. Mostly they stood around the hall, you know, looking at their phones and stuff. But I forgive them, you know. Things are different now. And so I decided I was going to write a trilogy because most young people want a second and third book, okay? So this is the first one. And I learned something about writing it. It's that not a lot of publishers publish them. So on top of the thing that we all have to wear masks together, that, you know, I just can't pass out cookies and tell them to sit down. My royalties on this aren't bad, but they're not enough. Anyway, thank God for Social Security, I can keep writing. You want me to read it?
Yeah, if you want to read a small excerpt or something, I would really enjoy that.
This is just the way it starts. I have often wondered if people ever recover from the murder of someone they knew well and loved. The day my father was murdered, we argued. A small thing, really. I asked him who he was talking to, and he blew up. I'd never yelled at to be heard, and not with him anyway. Our only spat turned out to be important in the months that followed. That day, my cheeks were hot and sudden tears sizzled trails all the way to my jaw. I'm sorry, I hollered. I turned on my heel and left him standing there. Later, as a gesture of remorse, he went out for some ice cream. I've thought about that often. Being 15 years old, I had a lifetime to suffer the things I should have, could have done, or said to change that outcome. It was early December on the night of our last basketball game, which we'd won by 2 points, thanks to Ashley Roach's broken wrist and our new sixth man, a lesbian shooting guard. My best friend Ruthie's mom let me out of the station. Her dad works at a gas station. But we were late. I thought Dad might be done with work and waiting for me. But when I came in through the office, I heard him talking to another man. I didn't realize how tense the discussion was until I busted in on them. Dad saw me and waved me away. I nodded, closing the door quietly. I stopped back into the office and waited for about 20 minutes before the door slammed and the visitor's tires screeched as he sped away.
What was it like for you stepping back into the lens of a 15-year-old to write this book?
I don't know. Sometimes there are characters that just, they just get in my head. I won a $5,000 Illinois Arts Camp Council grant by just writing about this young girl who was in my head, who had been to jail, and she had AIDS and belonged to this AIDS work crisis center where the nuns ran it and so forth. And so I wrote a story about that just to get her out of my head, and it paid off.
I love that. I love that. And I think the last question I'm going to ask is, do you have any words of advice for any young authors or writers in general that are looking to write about different themes or just to get their books and thoughts out there into the world?
Okay, I have a couple. First of all, read, and don't read junk. I used to work in a computer, and we said garbage in, garbage out. So read some good stuff. And second, you need to make some time to write, no matter what it is. For me, when my kids were young, I used to get up at about 5 a.m. and turn on the computer and you know, get some coffee and just work until the household had to get up. But, you know, I was satisfied with that because I had the most important thing of the day done. You know, I could go on with my life. And that's what I did when they were young. These days, I come in here in the afternoon, you know, after lunch, or sometimes I bring lunch. And I usually have more than one thing going. I'm working now on the sequel to Me Inside. And I'm working on the short story. I think I've written myself in a corner. The short story to send out for a contest that pays a couple thousand dollars. I don't care what it pays. It goes on my resume. But I wrote about these two guys from the hometown, the same little town, and one was a terrible bully. And they both go in the army and in Afghanistan, and they end up together. And the stories about how that works itself out, how they get to be good friends, how the bully comes back as a ghost and talks to the other guy. I mean, so it's been nice fun to write, really, but I'm all messed up on the names in Afghanistan. So I've had to do a lot of work on that.
And where can people purchase your books or even just keep up to date with what you're writing?
Well, right now I'd recommend Amazon or Barnes & Noble, probably barnesandnoble.com.